Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and for those of you wouldn't know, that this is take two between me and Mr. Brian E. Roach, who's joining me here today. My friend Brian, I was quoting a, is it Richard or Roger Murtaugh? Now I can't remember because our brains scrambled and we went way off the rails and started the show over again. But how you doing, my friend? We're getting a little too old for this stuff, aren't we?
Yeah, but how come why can't I be Mel Gibson?
Because I'm the handsome one, I think.
No.
Because you're the old guy. Because you're the Danny Glover. That's the way it is. It's
wait a minute. I could be both.
You could be anyway. Both, which would be interesting. You're more like the Joe Pesci sometimes, the Leo Getz.
No,
so,
no,
yeah. Come on, yeah.
No, hey. No.
Well, you're. Tell me, true or false?
Maybe about the refs. Maybe
about the drive-through. What about the drive-through?
I can't say that.
You can't say it. We're gonna beep you out. Folks, we're trying to have some fun here. We're losing our minds. Technical things happening here. All kinds of things happening. Brian's on very little sleep and lots of Red Bull. I'm here fueled by coffee. We are here on a Friday previewing the upcoming
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Yeah, well, I'm getting there. You know what I mean?
I like to preempt you.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. New Year's Eve. All the hot dates we got, right? Anyways, but into the new year. Pittsburgh Steelers, Monday Night Football. Quite awkward that it's scheduled this late in the season. It's almost like it was intentional, like they were looking ahead at this on the calendar and saying, hey, this might be a big deal to have in prime time. So Monday Night Football, Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers' last home stand for the 2021 season and quite possibly the last stand for a last home stand. Possibly. He did say, you know, he left that door open, but most are reading into that as if they make the postseason, win the division.
This is the door. It's open like that much.
Yeah, just a tiny
crack. For those of you not watching on YouTube, I have a little box and there's a little, like a 10-centimeter crack in it.
Is that a jewelry box, by the way?
That is a jewelry box. It's the, it's the Steelers ring.
Yeah. I thought it was. You've got everything, man. It's like, try buying this guy something for Christmas. You've got to get him something that's Steelers because he doesn't own anything else.
Ask my wife. She can't do it. She just says, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, she is like, you just buy what you want anyway. I'm like, it's a valid point.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, I'm the same way. And just look around, you know. Not quite in your territory. Hey, speaking of which, with all the helmets and everything there, for those of you who stick around near the end of the show, we got some important information on the helmet-worthy contest. So I'm going to put that out there because there's a few people that came back, Brian, and said, hey, how do I do this thing? And it's like, I'm just kind of like doing one of these things. So, yeah. So we'll do that at the end of the show. But anyways, I did find something for you that you may or may not have had. If you did, if you already have it, then you have multiple of it. You were wearing it on the last show. So
you did. And I like it. And it was fun. And I became the Steelers Ninja. It was awesome.
Yeah. I pat myself on the back when I could find something unique myself. I've got the Ben Roethlisberger different shirt on, which is different and something I didn't have as well. And I'm not sure if they're still selling these things, but it's going for a good cause. So go look those up as well. And anyways, with Ben, that door, I think it's the same path that we were talking about with can they win the division? And if they win the division, then obviously they'd have a home game, and the Steelers organization has actually been pre-selling tickets for it as well, and all of that jazz. So we'll see. Maybe that's the tiny creek crevice that you're talking about. There's always maybe the opportunity of coming back if things are doom and gloom. Although Drew Brees said no thank you to the New Orleans Saints just a week ago. So did Philip Rivers as well. Not interested in coming back and playing. And I mean, these guys have been sitting on the couch, Philip Rivers with like 12 kids piled on him. So he probably has a hurt back. But it could be Ben's last ride. And my goodness, the reason why we're getting too old for this stuff is we're not going to cover the future of the quarterback position with two games left to go. That's all I see everywhere that I'm talking about. Why don't the Steelers have a contingency plan? No, the contingency plan they have is just one you don't like. They drafted a quarterback the same year as Lamar Jackson instead of Lamar Jackson, who people in hindsight want to keep talking about. And they also, reclamation projects. Oh, you could go get Marcus Mariota or Gardner Minshew or who else is around. They could trade for whatever guy and give him a second chance. Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
First round pick, second chance. He's already on the roster. And by the way, Josh Dobbs did not make the roster this year. He's hanging around. He might be quarterback 3 next year. Maybe that's why they still have him hanging around. Maybe they're grooming him for coaching. But it is out of the ordinary to have somebody that's on injured reserve hanging around, somebody that can't return from injured reserve, hanging around the team as much as he has on the sidelines, et cetera.
Yep. Look, my favorite Jagoff writer out there now, you know, the one that I complain about constantly, because all he ever does is write negative things.
And oh, yeah.
Ridiculously stupid
things. I had to
think
of which one.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Jag part makes it evident, right?
If you said the funky Hawaiian shirts or, you know, or just said pony, then I would have known who you were talking about.
Well,
I had to think for a second.
Yeah, it's, you know, the latest article was, where else will Ben Roethlisberger land? Well, nowhere. Shut up.
He's already said no.
Shut up. Yes, just shut up. I mean, ridiculous. Like, I didn't read the article, and I'm not going to, and I feel bad. And everyone who just heard me talk about it, don't go read it. Because A, it's stupid, and B, it's stupid. So, look, here, this is my vent about the whole let's analyze the quarterback situation. You got one, maybe two, maybe a couple other games left to watch a guy who's brought you two Super Bowl victories, some of the most amazing comeback games you've ever watched, holds every single record for the Steelers at the position he's in. Can we just chill and appreciate what the guy has given us for the last 18 years and watch and appreciate that and just take in what we got left? We can complain about the quarterback position and all of the things that maybe they could have done and didn't do and you wish they had done, and somehow magically convince, you know, the ghost of Terry Bradshaw to have been the next 18th round pick that will suddenly become this quarterback of the future. Whatever. We can go through all of that nonsense when the season's over. It's not over yet. Let's enjoy the games that are left to the best that we can. Appreciate the fact this guy's given us 18 years of service that, for the most part, have been filled with great football that we've enjoyed watching, which is why we can't stand it when they're not good. So, you know, I'm not ready to talk about what do they do next yet. I'm ready to go to this game on Monday night and enjoy the fact that this guy's given me so much for 18 years.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That little spiel that I had, I don't care to elaborate on it any further. It's what we're going to be talking about for like 3 months. And we've been talking about it for like the last 3 to 5 years. Everybody's been trying to put dirt over the corpse of Ben Roethlisberger for so long. Going back to when they drafted Landry Jones, it's like, how long do you think Landry Jones is going to play in the league to be a succession plan when they say, oh, that's a burned or wasted pick? And I get tired of also hearing, well, Cowher didn't have, like, whatever quarterbacks. You see,
oh,
the
God.
I put it up on steelcityunderground.com. The picks between Malone, which, by the way, Malone was a first-round pick. They had Bradshaw and Malone. The revisionist history is, well, why didn't they draft Dan Marino, too? Well, they had to replace Mean Joe Green. That was the future. That was the what they were looking at. They still had Terry, and they still had Cliff Stout. I'm not going to say, like, you know, and obviously you lived that era. I was still a baby, but even looking back on that, I could say, man, this is some revisionist history. And then you got Dan Marino, who was playing for two Hall of Fame coaches, Don Shula and Jimmy Johnson, and still didn't get a Super Bowl ring. Who's to say he would have done any different in Pittsburgh? So, I mean, you could all look at that and say, you know, if Gabe Rivera doesn't get in that accident, who knows if he's all – he could be Lawrence Taylor for all we know. You know what I mean? It's –
well,
I'm not saying he would
to be Lawrence Taylor.
I understand, but sacking the quarterback.
Yeah, he could have been a force. You never know. Look,
yeah,
and that's the problem with revisionist history. Anytime you start to look back and make changes based on your assumptions of what would have happened, you're just go watch Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness when it comes back out, because that's what you, when it comes back out. Well, when it comes
hasn't come out yet.
In fact, in one of the other multiverses, it already is out. So then I'm still valid. It could have come back out. Anyway, you get my point. You're down the rabbit hole of multiverses. Who cares? The reality is, in this one, right, it didn't work out.
and the plan was, you don't blow a first round pick on Mark Malone thinking he's just a bum. You got him sitting there and you're thinking, hey, this is going to be the next guy, and it doesn't necessarily work out. I mean, everybody forgets the Steelers make that AFC championship game in 84. They lose to Marino, but you know, there was still a little bit of success there. And then the quarterbacks between, I mean, Tom Tupo was like the top quarterback taken in like 87, 88, something like that. The guy ended up being a punter, unless you were at the very top of the drafts. And even then, like what, Steve Young or Vinny Testaverde, coincidentally both Buccaneers that didn't end up playing out or finishing their careers there, or Troy Aikman, you know, you had to be incredibly awful and at the top of the draft, basically like the way the Bengals just were, to get Joe Burrow and have a guy that's going to play, you know, for 15 years or something like that. And that's what you're asking the Steelers to do with two games left. You're unhappy because where are the Steelers at? They're in an even Steven right now, right? 7-7 yep. And 1. Because they have 7 wins? Like, I think about, like, oh, well, we could hang our hat on not having losing seasons. Well, you should be thankful of that. You could be the Raiders or the Bills or the Browns or somebody like that. And I don't mean to go down this same rabbit hole, Brian, but the guys between Malone and Ben Roethlisberger, there are few and far between that were available. There were some that slipped through the cracks. Brett Favre even slipped through the cracks because the Falcons traded him to the Packers. So he didn't even stay with the team that drafted him. It's, you know, you could say it could have, would have, should have, but for the most part, in the position where they were drafting and who they took when it come to first round picks, there wasn't a quarterback like Jim Druckenmiller. Is that who you should have taken over, I think, Rod Woodson? Like something like that, you know what I mean? And I might have my years mixed up, and there might have been somebody else like a Tim Worley or somebody in there, but I think you get my point. They're just, what the position, they're not available. And right now, if the Steelers tank and lose the next two games, they're not really moving anywhere within like a 5-6 pick window or area, of which there's going to be a different player available than what probably will be available based on, because other teams have different needs. And there's still to say, if they're in the top 5, the 49ers just traded away 3 first round picks to go up and get Trey Lance. You could be pick 5 and a team jumps up in front of you and gives away their whole future, and you still don't get your guy. So then you just pain and misery. And then what if you get the wrong guy? What if you get Josh Rosen? What if you get, God, the Broncos are the primary example. And I don't care to go through all of it, but Drew Locke, Paxton Lynch, and Brock Osweiler, and they're still trying to find their post-Peyton Manning guy, and people don't want to live through that pain. People don't want the 80s again. I understand that. But to say the Steelers haven't had a contingency plan is kind of baloney. I understand that, hey, I know you feel this way. Maybe Mason Rudolph isn't the future. I'm not saying he necessarily is, but this is probably the guy they're going to give a shot to for a year or two. And I don't know that I see them drafting a guy, but that's a whole other conversation. They still have Dwayne Haskins there. You want the reclamation project, and you wanted the draft pick. You got both of them sitting behind Ben right now, and that's where you got to go.
The problem is they just don't like
it. Yeah, and Peyton Manning gets his neck hurt, and that's how the Colts got Andrew Luck. And then Andrew Luck quits on them, and people are like, oh, well, you know, then they went and traded for Carson Wentz. And I don't necessarily know that that works out. And you see what Philadelphia did to go up and get Wentz, and then they win a Super Bowl without him, basically. So it's just like, come on. I mean, it's preposterous. A lot of it is. It just drives me crazy. So
I understand. Look. Here's the thing, and one of the beat writers, I'm pretty sure it was Ed Bouchette, wrote this in one of his mailbags or something, and it's an accurate statement, and we've certainly been saying it all along. You do not draft a rookie quarterback to play behind the current offensive line that we have, all right? What you have to fix first is the line. I mean, you just do. And I don't know where they're going to – again, we have the same problem that we've had for years and years and years and years, right? We're pretty good. And because we're pretty good, we're drafting in the bottom part of the first round. Can there be talent in the bottom part of the first round? Yes, there absolutely can be. Is it elite franchise-level talent? Not normally. And yes, you can Lamar me all day, He ain't won nothing yet, okay? Let's not anoint him as the savior of the Ravens when they ain't won a damn thing.
Well, it's the Aaron Rodgers argument. One ring. It's, you well, know, Lord
Aaron
of the Rings.
Rodgers at least
one,
has, what, 27,000 years because he was drafted when he was three?
No, he's only like a year or two younger than Ben. So
I know. I mean, but he's been around what feels like forever, right?
It does. Yeah, and so, exactly.
And so I get it. You know, look, I do think Aaron Rodgers is overrated. If he comes here, I'll love him, but he still will be overrated in my mind.
Wait a minute. I got to steal. Josh had a quote for that because I was calling him a diva too. And he said, yeah, but that would be our diva. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That's absolutely right. It's kind of like when we defended James Harrison, but then we went somewhere else. Bah, boo.
Yeah, hate him. But now I love him. Okay. Anyway. See, you did it to me this time. Now I lost my train of thought. It went chugging off the other way because I'm too old for this poop, Mr. Murtaugh. Anyway, what I was trying to say here is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers at least has a consistency level over the period of time, has played really good football, and has gotten into things like AFC champion or NFC championships games, consistently gets into the playoff, wins his division. Lamar hasn't won a playoff game, right?
At this point, he got one last year.
Oh, he did.
And that's the first one that Harbaugh's only won two since the Super Bowl. So we get into the same argument because somebody out there is going to jump in the comments while they don't listen to the entirety of the show and then make a comment and then delete it. I see your emails. I see them. I get them. I see them. And then I can't comment on them. And I want to comment on them. But anyways, and they're going to say the same thing.
So he's 1-1.
Mike Tomlin has just, you know, pissed away all of this talent. And I look at this all the time and I'm like, yeah, you know what? He had Brown and Bell and Ben during the regular season. And then you get to the postseason and Bell isn't there and you're playing Jordan Todman or Fitzgerald Toussaint. And they're still getting into the divisional game. They get to the AFC championship game when they finally have Bell and Brown. Then they finally have that season, 13 wins. But towards the end, no Ryan Shazier, Tyler Matakevich, who's his backup, is hurt too, although I don't know that he would fare much better than LJ Fort or Sean Spence did. And that's the reason why the Jaguars are able to do what you do. You turn the ball over. You have all these other things. Todd Haley becomes the scapegoat. Everybody instead thinks, oh, Mike Munchak was the reason that the offense was churning and doing this and that. And it's like, yeah, they were 30 or 31st in run game the last year. Munchak was here. And he already had all-pro type guys. But if you start to get into – and I'm getting into Adrian Klemm here is kind of my point here, too.
Yes.
And also bring up Bill Belichick while I'm at it as well, because people will bring up Mac Jones. And it's like, well, they had to lose last year. They had to eat all of that cap space from Tom Brady and everybody else. And then they went out and spent a whole bunch of money and they got the line all fixed up and then put a guy back there that we still don't know. You know, they're hanging on to a wild card spot right now. And we still don't
remember, they won one game with the guy throwing three passes.
Three passes. Three passes. Yeah, it's all on him.
Let's not anoint Doughboy as the next Tom Brady.
Jeez. I mean, and I'm willing to give him a pass. I'm willing to look at it. But I said for the Steelers, he would be getting killed. And he wouldn't be playing over Ben, nor would have Lamar Jackson if they would have taken him back then. He would have been playing as much as Mason Rudolph, and you'd probably hate it just as much because he would have been thrown to Johnny Holton and handing off to Kareth White and Tony Brooks-James and Trey Edmonds in 2019. But somebody else out there thought, oh, this team would have won a Super Bowl if Lamar was there instead of Mason Rudolph. And they still would have had an empty spot at safety because they wouldn't have Terrell Edmonds, whether you listen to all the other people who say he sucks versus the people who are watching and actually know what they're talking about. So on the other hand of this is, you know, we talked the offensive line, and it's like you had a scapegoat with Adrian Klemm. These vertical moves, now it is out of the ordinary for somebody to leave the team with two games left. Normally it would just be one game, but we have an expanded season now. So I think this will be more commonplace, but since it's the Steelers, it's like rats jumping from the Titanic. And it's like, come on. We had the same sort of reaction when Munchak left. And it was funny because I was just looking up Adrian Klemm. I was looking up when Tom Brady, because somebody's like, well, you could always find somebody in the middle rounds. Yeah, Tom Brady and Antonio Brown are the extreme rare exceptions of all pro potential, bona fide Hall of Famer. And I think AB will have an argument at some point in the future as well. But you don't find those guys in the sixth round. And I was like, well, I was looking at this draft with Tom Brady, and it just so happens the same year he gets picked – they had three sixth round picks. The Patriots did, but their first pick in the draft was 46 overall, round two, Adrian Clem, who we didn't get to talk about on the last game. It's business. This is business of football. He was going to be a scapegoat. Somebody said he was getting a pay raise, and they're like, well, the Steelers don't pay their guys enough. Mike Tomlin doesn't have guys coming off his tree. It's because the guys are coming off of other trees already. Todd Haley, Dick LeBeau, Keith Butler. Some of these guys were here when they were Cowher hires. John Mitchell and James Daniel. And then you still have guys that played like Jerry Osavsky or Jerry Porter or Joey Porter, Jerry Porter. Blah. So anyways, the whole point is here is it's like, this is all part of the Steelers culture and all part of their organization. And it's like, you want to blow everything up. This goes back to Noel. It goes back to Cowher. They pass off coaches and coordinators and everything, and players and everything else, and set up everything well. I'm not blaming necessarily Adrian Clem for what we came into this season and what we're seeing is. And I thought about this long and hard, Brian. We brought this up a few times. People move on. And he's going to wear a few other hats with his job at, is it Oregon or Oregon State? It's one or the other. And
somewhere out in the great Northwest.
Yeah, he has an assistant coach role or whatever else. And it's like, and Mike Tomlin said this, he assumes everybody that's in this is looking to eventually become a head coach. And Adrian Clem is a younger guy. He's 44 years old. And he's well-respected everywhere, and he's just moving around and trying to move up the ranks. And most of these coaches don't stay put very long. You get some lifers, but it's rare anywhere, pros and college, lateral movement. So when we came into this season, we thought maybe the interior of this line was going to be better. Zach Banner was supposed to be out there. That's one guy. You weren't expecting David DeCastro to walk away. We're going into camp with Banner and DeCastro, and we liked Dotson last year. You got a rookie center, and you got Chooks, who was there last year. And that is not how it played out whatsoever. And what's a guy to do when he doesn't even have the guys to coach that end up being on the field? You go down to your fifth left guard. I mean, I'm not going to place it all on him there either. You know what I mean? It's just
I'm going to not place it all on him. And we liked the Adrian Clem signing, or, you know, when they hired him, we liked it. We thought that was going to be good. You know, he had the creds. All right. Mm-hmm. But yes, you're absolutely right. Somebody was going to take the fall for how bad this offensive line has been this season. And it was more than likely going to be him. So the thing is it's not rats jumping a ship. The guy was probably gone at the end of the season anyway, because there were going to be changes. And so, you know, and if that's the case and he has an offer and he legitimately wants to go there, then just let the guy go. It's not, you know, he knows he's gone, right? That's probably part of the reason he's looking. If he thought, wow, I'm doing great stuff here, he's not looking for another job yet. Why? Because he's making his rep here. His rep right now with this group is trash, so he needs to get a different group. All right.
Yeah, and that's not complete. It's not complete trash. You get guys. You get guys that have been bad coaches and they float around all over, and sometimes they find success in other places. I mean, look at Pete Carroll. I mean, Pete Carroll was in the NFL. Who was he with? Was he with the Patriots? Was he the one or two win season?
I don't remember.
And maybe even the Jets.
I try not to think about Pete Carroll.
But the point is, he's won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
After going to USC. I'm looking this up just because my brain's foggy and I haven't had enough coffee yet. But yeah, he was the head coach of the Jets in 94 and a coach with the Patriots for a handful of seasons before the before eventually the Parcells Belichick stuff hits there. So let me see. Hold on a second. I wanted to bring up his actual coaching record, because I think that was part of my little rant here and just saying not everything's always rosy. Yeah, 6-10 season with the Jets in 94. He comes back to the Patriots 97, 98, 99, and he has 10 wins. He actually gets into the playoffs, and then he leaves and goes to the college ranks. Then he comes back in his first 2 years with Seattle, 7-9 and 7-9, which is kind of funny because that's the 1 year they had the losing record, and they get the home playoff game because of the way everything was structured, and then they actually win at home too. And eventually it went a Super Bowl. And yeah, Pete's getting up there in age, and now his team has kind of fallen off some because they had struck an amazing draft with that Legion of Boom defense, very reminiscent of that one draft with the Steelers where you even get Who all was in that? I'm drawing a blank now. Two Pride, 74, right?
74 draft, best draft ever.
So you get those type of things to happen. Even for this case in point, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning. I'm watching the old Madden documentary. These guys didn't have like great first years, and Rodgers sat for like 3 years before he played, and he still wasn't like tremendous. And all of a sudden, boom. So whoever you get in there, you're going to have patience with, and there's just no patience. Everybody wants tomorrow, today, and it just doesn't work that way. So we do have a game to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Some of these things are relevant to this, but there's just so much with the Roethlisberger news that it becomes a domino effect of Tomlin's ineffective. Kevin Colbert can't draft. Talk about drafts. You're ignoring 2017 when you're talking about – people are bringing up like Jarvis Jones still as if – he would still maybe even be playing if he were good. He may be at the tail end of his career already. That was 2013. So yeah. 2013, 2012, something like that. I may have mixed up with Shazier there. But, yeah, we're talking almost 10 years ago now. I mean, it's like, whoa, that makes me feel old. But it's just it's dumb. I really hate those type of arguments when then you're ignoring them getting T.J. Watt and Juju and James Conner and Cam Sutton. And even the James Conner argument, he has a lot of touchdowns. His yards per carry is the same as Najee Harris this year. He had more yards per carry last year with a bad offensive line that you had to get rid of everyone and get Adrian Clem and you know, move away from Alejandro Villanueva and Pouncey retires and all of that. But yeah, they screwed up not signing James Conner, who, once again, injured, might not be playing this weekend either, didn't play last weekend. It's like he had a bunch of touchdowns. He makes the Pro Bowl on a bunch of touchdowns. Yeah, he's having a nice year. Nothing against James Conner, but the reason he had been doing well is because he'd been staying healthy. If they would have stayed with Conner and drafted a lineman that probably wouldn't be playing anyway or playing well as a rookie, you look at who was available at that draft spot. I mean, Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth are the reason they've been winning some of these games.
Yeah,
you go with James Conner and then he ends up getting hurt. I don't think that then everybody's complaining. Well, why didn't they get somebody else? Why did they re-sign this bum? It's always the glass is half empty with a lot of people that are out there. I think they just love to complain. I know that some of the people listening is like, Joe, why do you keep giving these people a pedestal? It's because I know a lot of you out there are water cooler talk, friends, family, coworkers, and otherwise, and you hear this same garbage, and you don't think the same way that they do, and maybe you need a little bit of ammo. You need a few bullets to shoot back at them, and I'm going to give you those bullets because it drives me insane, absolutely insane. It's like, let's ignore Bud Dupree or Ryan Shazier or Stephon Tuitt or a lot of these other really solid draft picks that they've had, even Le'Veon Bell for that matter. And they'll say Mike Tomlin hasn't had the playoff record or experience, and you haven't gotten a what's he done in the last 5 years or this and that. He's wasted talent. Well, they rebuilt this team again after everyone retired. The Casey Hamptons, the Aaron Smiths, the Hines Wards, Heath Miller, you know, 2012, 2013, and got that going again. And then they were back into being a contender. But then they get to the postseason, you don't have Le'Veon Bell, you don't have Antonio Brown, you don't have Martavis Bryant. He misses an entire season because of his off-field stuff. And people then dump that on Tomlin, and they're going to say it's a culture thing. And can they turn it? I can tell you there's no culture and there's no locker room leadership issues when you have guys like Ben Roethlisberger, Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Joe Hayden, Minka Fitzpatrick. That's just malarkey. Okay, Chase Claypool did one finger point thing, and now all of a sudden it's like Mike Tomlin has no control of his locker room. That's just preposterous. And that was my mini rant that I needed to finish there, because there's a couple of things, there's a lot of these we're going to touch on probably when we get into like January and February. We don't think the Steelers are going to make some deep run. We would like to see them make the playoffs. Why not? You get in there, you got a shot. Nobody was giving that 2005 team a chance.
That's right.
And it's just, you know, So appreciate the guy that's on the field right now. I've seen some vile things from people. He should have hung it up years ago. I saw somebody talking about his motorcycle accident and some of the other controversies he's had when he was younger, and he should have been gone back then. And it's like, what are you talking about? Oh, those teams won because of the defense. It's like, oh, yeah, Santonio Holmes threw the ball to himself, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. Look, those teams absolutely won because of their defense, but they also won because of their offense. Mm-hmm. And you know, it look that the defense look at that Cardinals Super Bowl. All right. Look, when the defense lets Larry Fitzgerald go down the middle of the field to score, we all knew, okay, they let him score fast. Now we have a chance, right? We got a chance. It's not the defense that's coming back. It's the guy who's, what, third all time in comebacks in fourth quarter winning drives. That's the guy who did that for you, right? Between him and Santonio Holmes. And I know everybody wants to go, oh, Santonio was the reason that the ball still has to be. That's the best pass I've ever seen thrown in a Super Bowl, bar none. It's amazing. Go back and watch it. Ball has to be exactly there. Yes, he has to catch it exactly the way he did. But if the ball is anyplace else, it probably is an incomplete pass. So, you know, I can't say this enough. But, you know, and I know I've said it already, but I can't say this enough. Let's just be glad for what we had with this guy over the past 18 years. I did live through all those quarterbacks in the 80s. I know what we look like we're facing after Ben retires. I know what the next 4 to 5 to 6 seasons could look like. Let's just relish the fact that we had another strong contending Steelers team that almost year in, year out was a potential candidate to get to the Super Bowl. And in great part, that's thanks to Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to that one more time, too. You also have the head coach. And everybody's going to say, well, Cowher didn't have the franchise guy and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, nobody – why how come people aren't blaming, like, Cowher and, you know, the front office staff for not going out and getting the quarterback then during all of that? You know what I mean? It's like they tried. I mean, Kent Graham was paid money and – I don't know that Cordell was ever supposed to work out the way he did and then didn't ahead of his time and things like that. But Tomlin had spells where Ben was suspended in 2010 and he was 4 games without him. He had Charlie Batch, he had Dennis Dixon. You had, over the years, we've seen Byron Leftwich go out there. You've seen Landry Jones go out there. You saw Michael Vick in Landry Jones the 1 year for like 4
you
and a half.
You saw an
games.
Entire season of Mason Rudolph and Devlin Duck. Hodges.
Yeah, and you're still contending. So I don't like that argument either. And I went way further with the future and beyond Ben and all these other contingency plans, everything. It's kind of a potpourri. I think that's because we're very familiar with this opponent on Monday night, the Cleveland Browns. They've already beaten the Cleveland Browns once this season, but we know how that turned out last season as well. And we know Myles Garrett's been running his mouth about making sure this might be Ben's last game at Heinz Field. And we know the Browns are pretty much eliminated from this thing if the Steelers win on Monday. I think there's more than enough extra motivation and mojo that this may be unlike any game that we've seen yet this year. And I think maybe Ben's been putting this off as maybe something that can get them over the hump. Let's see if they could actually do it. Because, I mean, otherwise we don't have a whole lot. Here's the thing we're hanging our hats on. We knew last week was not going to be pretty with Kansas City. Okay? But we also know that the Browns and Ravens are not playing very good football. And that they are beatable teams, even by a team that sticks the joint up at times, as the Steelers have done many times this season. It's not without a reach. They're not. It's not like they're playing the Packers or the the Cardinals are iffy too. But I mean, you know, they're not playing one of the juggernauts, Tampa Bay or something, defending Super Bowl champions. You got teams that you've already beaten this season, and teams that are probably playing worse ball than they were when they were defeated by the Steelers then, too. The only problem is Steelers are playing bad ball, too.
Yeah, let's think about this. The Ravens, who did the Ravens play this week? The Packers, right?
Rams.
No, they played the Packers. The Rams. The Ravens are playing the Rams. Doesn't look like Lamar is going to play, right? So you got a team with Hundley that, you know, gave the Packers a run for their money. But, you know, this is – like, is Lamar done for the season at this point? Are they going to put him in for game 17 if they lose this game?
That's a valid point. Depends on,
you know,
the playoffs?
Yeah, if you have no shot at making the playoffs, because if they lose this, then they're 8-8, right? They lose this game, they're 8-8. The chances of making the playoffs at 9-8 are slim to none, probably, unless, you know, Cincinnati is going to lose out and they think they have a chance at the division. I mean, that game could mean a lot. At the that Ravens game could mean a lot. dependent on here. But let's take the negative side of this. Let's say the Browns win, which is not completely out of the question either. They're a very solid run team. I've said all along every year, you know, they have a good defense. They have a good offensive line. They have great running backs. They could certainly win the game. And if they do, yeah, the Steelers are cooked, right? Our season is over at that point. And at that point, then do the Ravens go, well, I don't know. Because if the Browns win and the Bengals, what if the Bengals beat the Chiefs? Then everything is all thrown off. You know what I mean?
Well, then the Bengals clinch the division.
Yeah. At that point, is everybody just bagging at that point? I don't know. This is going to be a very telling weekend, I guess, is where I'm going with all of this. Look, I guess for those 0%ers, 0.01%ers who are still with us after all this ranting.
No, I think the ranting's still good. It's just this isn't much of the pregame that.
Let me give you a little Cleveland pregame.
Browns. Yeah.
I am worried to a greater extent about this game than I was the first time around. Because TJ, I don't know if TJ is going to be 100% healthy. Did he play the first game? I think that he didn't.
Ooh.
But I can't remember.
That is a fantastic question that I will have the answer for here in a second as you continue to ramble and cover for me.
Yeah. Look, the fact that the Browns ran the ball very well last week. Baker Mayfield lost their game for them, but they ran the ball very well. If they learn to not put the game in Baker Mayfield's hands and they consistently can run the ball and the Steelers can't stop them, then the Steelers are not going to win this game. But, you know, if they can bail out and make it be Baker has to beat us, maybe they can. They're finally getting healthier. I mean, Joe Hayden should be back consistently. If TJ's feeling better, that would be great. When you got cracked ribs, man, that takes a while to heal. And I'm worried about that for the last two games. But I think TJ has a mission to try and get some stuff done. Cam's been playing good again. Alex Highsmith has had a very nice season. All these things, you know, we could absolutely win the game. We could absolutely lose the game. Is it a 50-50 toss-up? No, I'm going to lean towards the emotional side is on the Steelers' side. They've got to have some fire in their bellies to try and make sure Ben doesn't go out on a really bad note. The last thing we want is another Pouncey Ben. I know Pouncey's not there, but, you know, Cam Hayward and Ben sitting on the bench going, what the hell? We would all like to see this end with a victory. And so that, you know, what potentially is his last game at Heinz Field, certainly is likely the last regular season game at Heinz Field for him. It can be handled in the way it should be, the way that he actually deserves it to be. As his career winds down.
In my brain, I was flip-flopping the Bengals game was the one that TJ wasn't playing in.
Right, I couldn't remember either.
Yeah, he played against the Browns, sack and a half, fumble recovery, played darn near the whole game. Melvin Ingram did not play in that game. So a different edge guy. We'll call them,
yeah.
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. You know how I feel about that from the last show. So anyways, yes. Yeah, talking about, and I mean, the Browns are a little different. No Odell Beckham. And they were at full strength. They had just gotten Beckham, and they had Jarvis Landry in the field at the same time and Jack Conklin. And they don't have Beckham. They don't have Conklin right now. I think Kareem Hunt might be back in the fold now. He had been on injured reserve for a little while here. And let me see. I'm trying to see who else. Trying to see if somebody else went on the COVID list here. But I don't see anything that's incredibly major on that end. The actual injury report that I have somewhere else here. Let's see. We don't know who the punter will be this week for the Steelers. Presley Harvin and services for his father were sometime this week. So maybe Corliss Waitman once again. The southpaw kicker, a lefty. So
yeah.
I mean, it's just you don't see that. As soon as I saw it, I recognized it. And Bill Belichick is always like the left-footed kickers for some reason. So let's see. Buddy Johnson gets hurt. Kendrick Green with a calf, which I don't know how problematic you want to make that now. They get And, you know, it's not to dump on Green, but his play has not been a very high bar to where if I think J.C. Hasenauer comes in there that it's, you know, much, much different here. And, of course, if he's not practicing, J.C.H., I believe, would be getting all of those reps anyways, and there'll be at least something going on there. Here's another thing, another dynamic. This game is at Heinz Field with fans, which you didn't have for that wild card. That's a lot different. And there's been some time between both of these teams playing each other, so you're just hoping that they're more or less at full strength. Pat Freiermuth and Chris Wormley, both full participants, which bodes well for the Steelers. Good. Miles Garrett shows up limited on the Browns report, however, with a groin, and we know how bad that could be. Ronnie Harrison is back to full participant there. Troy Hill, their slot corner. Oh, I guess Kareem Hunt showed back up on this. So they were hoping to get him back. He was on his DMP with the ankle still, so maybe they won't. But again, it's early. We've got the late end a day removed type thing with the practice. There's no Wednesday practices, Thursday, Friday, Saturday slate for the Monday night football teams here. So Malik Jackson, defensive tackle, that's another big piece there. Andy Janovich is back after missing time with a shoulder. John Johnson, the third, starting safety, hamstring, DNP. Jarvis Landry back with a knee. Baker Mayfield, they're going to keep listing him like they have been Ben. He's had a bad shoulder the whole year. Greg Newsome was in concussion protocol. He was limited. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, JOK, as we call him for short, an illness. Maybe he gets tested. We'll see what happens. That whole thing is just
never-ending. Yeah.
It's like the bingo card. Did anybody have this? It's the Deadpool. So you just I don't know what to take with whatever's going on with that. I don't even try and make sense of it, counting the date. I don't know what their protocols are anymore. So if it's just an illness here, we'll assume it's not part of the COVID thing or that he ends up there. Sione Takitaki back from a shoulder. J.C. Treader limited with the knee. There's some important names here that obviously Miles Garrett at the top of them. They've lost Tech McKinley, who had been filling in as kind of their type of Melvin Ingram or Taco Charlton type reserve edge rusher there as well. Troy Hill's pretty big as their slot guy, as is Malik Jackson up front. John Johnson is a safety. That's part of their secondary. It's all there. JOK, I would assume, if he gets better, he'll be playing. He's a big part in the center of the field there as one of their middle linebackers. Treader is a center too. That could cause the same kind of issues when you're having to deal with Cam Hayward. You got Conklin out already, and you're down a few guys on the offensive line. So I just look at this. You know, it's real easy for me to cop out and just say, well, they beat them the first time, because we know how that works. We know how it works in the NFL, particularly in divisional games. And it wasn't necessarily a blowout by any means, 15-10. But at the same time, this game really hinges on the quarterback play. Ben's going to have to bring his A game, and I think mentally and emotionally, usually we see some phenomenal things from Roethlisberger in this type of spot. On the other side of the ball, Baker Mayfield, he's been a contributor to some of these losses too, and there's been some in the Cleveland camp as far as friends and whatnot that I know that have soured on the young man, even though he's been playing hurt. But still, it's kind of the same thing. If he's playing hurt, how much is he hurting his team as well?
Yeah, I don't know. Let me talk about Ben again real quick. You know, it's hit or miss sometimes with Ben when he gets emotional and things get, you know, when he pushes himself too much, right? That's the fear here is hopefully the wisdom of age, which brings us all the way back to the beginning of this with Riggs and Murtaugh. The wisdom of age hopefully allows Ben to keep those emotional highs and lows in check, right? Because you don't want him too high where he's overly pumped for the game, which we've seen happen to him in games in the past where he looks like, you know, he's up, all the balls are high, he's overthrown. I don't think that's going to happen. He's not throwing it the same way he used to. But in addition to that, you don't want, if it starts to go in the wrong direction, you don't want him thinking back to that playoff loss and going, God, I don't want it to go out this way, and forcing things, right? And so, you know, while I kind of expect this to be a close game, why would you not? The only way they're in a blowout is when they're on the losing end. So You know, you expect and hope this is a close game, one that they can stay in till the end, that keeps Ben focused on the I have a chance concept rather than, shoot, I got to do everything I can because it's slipping away again. And see how it goes. I think, you know, that is another concern for me. This is sometimes the time when bad Ben creeps out because he pushes too hard. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that that doesn't rear its head.
Yeah. I agree. I think it comes down to the usual. It's field position. So it's sacks. Yep. It's negative plays overall. The ball over, penalties. It's those. It's always the mistakes that are going to get you, and it's which team makes fewer of those mistakes. I'm not necessarily the guy I probably fear the most. This is going to sound funny as far as the pass game. It's not even Jarvis Landry. He's a stick and chain mover guy. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. 42 receptions of this year, 10 games, 452 yards, and just the lone touchdown. They look for their tight ends frequently and often when they're in the red zone, and they've got a platoon of them. Three yeah. solid guys there. You got Hooper, you got Njoku, and you got Bryant. Nick Chubb played in the last game. You got to hope to stop the run. I think with some of the healthier horses on the Steelers defense now, maybe we saw a little glimpse of that. I think you're going to have – it's another thing where you limit it. You don't entirely stop it because this is yep. the Browns' offense, is to run the ball. When they place the ball firmly and squarely in Baker Mayfield's hands, it doesn't look as pretty. But when they get some of these things going with play action and he can bootleg out and guys get open, Donovan Peoples-Jones is the one I'm most looking at. Yeah. Yep. Here, as far as that goes, I mean, I got Anthony Schwartz, who's a burner too, but you know, he has been targeted a whole lot. Rashard Higgins has always had a rapport, but Peoples-Jones has been the guy that's kind of filled in now that Beckham's been gone, and he's been kind of the beneficiary of that. 483 yards on only 28 receptions and 3 touchdowns will tell you that, averaging 17.3 per catch, which is far and beyond the most of any Browns players. I mean, Beckham was there with 13.6 for what few that he had, and of course Schwartz is there for the – he's had like a big 40-yarder or something like that as well that kind of skews that just a little bit more. But those are the big play type of things that happen, and of course Ben's got to be looking out on the other side of the ball. It's, you know, the trenches look pretty ugly for both teams, particularly if you have these type of injuries. If the Browns come in and Treader's healthy and this and that, they probably look a lot better at being able to do something against the Steelers front. But if they don't, then that could, I mean, Baker still got sacked four and a half times or something like this in the last game, and he could be going down as well. Likewise, you got to protect Ben and give Ben time to be able to make the proper decisions. You got to be aware of, like, Denzel Ward is a playmaker, and you just got to watch for some of that stuff. So we're going to see. Just the Steelers offense just got to do a little more than just three and outs on this. Just very
you know
curious.
What I'd like to see?
Yeah.
If this is, in fact, Ben's last regular season home game, let him call the plays. I'd kind of like to just – I know Tomlin has said he's not opposed to putting the game in Ben's hands. I'd kind of like – and this is not a condemnation of Matt Canada.
No.
While
no.
I don't think Matt Canada has got a great feel for games at the same time, I'd kind of like to say, you know what? If Ben's going to win or lose this game, which probably he is, right, from the standpoint of the Steelers' offense, because they can't run the ball consistently – so that, again, not a slight against Najee, who I think is tremendous and was the right pick. The offensive line is just bad. Let Ben call the plays. Let Ben run this game, and then you can make certain kinds of decisions going forward. But I'd like to see that happen. I don't think it will, but I'd like to see it happen.
Yeah. Let me see. I was trying to look up. Oh. It's not what I wanted to see. Seasons. I'm trying to find. Najee was up there. He's third in attempts behind Jonathan Taylor and Joe Mixon. And he is fifth in yards. He's at 984. He will cross 1,000, you would think, in this game. Yep. It's only 6 touchdowns. Hasn't found the end. He's found the end zone as a receiver a couple of times, too. But it's something that What really blows your mind is Derrick Henry, who's played all of 8 games, is still 6th on this list. But Harris is actually, and I get these had his yards per carry is not been good. So, but it, overall, his volume and what they've done, they've still focused on the run, even though it doesn't feel like it at for the most part.
Well, they run the ball a consistent amount, right? It's not that they ignore the run, and anybody who thinks they do is
It's not Randy Fichtner.
It's not Randy Fichtner's offense. They absolutely run the ball. They just don't do it very well most of the time. Najee gets yards because of Najee.
That's absolutely, you know, we won't shy away from that one. That's for sure. Yeah. So it's just kind of mind-blowing when you think about that. I didn't have him anywhere near, I think, the top 10 in my own head. I'm like, they stink. They can't run the ball. And as a team, I get it. You know, I could say that a lot of teams aren't using just a primary back in those cases too. I mean, obviously the Colts are and the Bengals are. That's why these guys are at the top with Mixon and Jonathan Taylor as well. Let's see. I had a few other things that I was poking around at with this game, and I think I'm still looking at the one that was played on Halloween. Let's see what we got. The Browns and the Steelers are practically neck and neck as far as points scored per game. Cleveland is 20.9, the Steelers 20.1. Points allowed. The Steelers have given up 24.7, which is still only 22nd. There are still teams that are worse, maybe by decimal points or maybe by whole numbers. But the Browns are at 21.9, so they tend to be a little even there. And the takeaway differential is a solid 0, right in the middle of the pack at 15th in the league for the Cleveland Browns, and the Steelers are a -1 right now. So that goes to show you, when they're taking the ball away, you beat a team like the Titans. When you're not taking, when you're giving the ball away, you lose poorly to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, that's not new news, right? For us, we've been saying that. We say that almost every game. Don't turn the ball over, you can win. Take the ball away, you can win, right?
I mean, it really isn't. It's really not rocket science. I mean, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. It should be pretty cut and dry. I didn't look at the line on this game. I'm going to get that up here in a second, too. But passing.
I want to say, before you look it up, the last I heard, it was Browns getting 3. Or 3.5. So Steelers were underdogs at home by 3 or 3.5. I want to see if it's moved.
Yeah, they were -3.5. You're absolutely right. Over under a 41, which is where this is the sucker bet, because I don't know. Do either of these teams score 20? It could be a slugfest. The Browns, again, like I said, not the biggest passing yards per game. 27th in the league at 200. The Steelers are 228 at 14th. Rushing yards, they're 3rd in the league with averaging 144 per game, while the Steelers are 87th, which is 29th. Not in the basement. That's an improvement. I'll take my wins where I can get them. Defensively, the Browns are 8th against the pass. I'm talking like Mike Tyson over here. And then defensive. Okay, so pass. Let me start this over again. They're 8th defensively and 10th against the run. And then the Steelers are 13th against the pass and dead last against the run, which
doesn't surprise me at all based on what we see.
And they gave up like boatloads of yards. They'll probably end here, even if they give up 0 yards in the next 2 games, because they've given up so much in the others. So
they're going to be the worst run defense in the league. There's no question about it.
Yeah. And again, it's like, well, the injuries and things have piled up. We're hoping that this team is semi-healthy here and can get things going. And then we'll talk about like some things where, well, how do you repair some of these problems in the coming year? Because, I mean, they weren't expecting some of these to be problems. We've mentioned it before, Tyson Alualu and Stephon Tuitt, and I was already having to replace Bud Dupree and releasing Steven Nelson and Vince Williams retiring. And, you know, they had Cam Sutton there in place of Steven Nelson, but you could only have so many pieces and parts. And we should also mention Arthur Mollett was placed on the COVID list.
Yeah.
He does some of the nickel duties. He doesn't do all of them. And with Akello Witherspoon kind of ascending here into more of a role, I think what you're going to see is that that's not going to maybe play into things too big with the Steelers. They still have Trey Norwood, who's been doing some of those duties. Terrell Edmonds will come down toward the line of scrimmage sometimes, man up if it's like a tight end, which there will be. Browns run a lot of 2 tight end sets. But I'm not looking at Mollett a month ago. Oh, my goodness, the sky is falling. But Akella Witherspoon's been doing pretty handily on the outside. Then we could slide him out there and just have Cam Sutton fill in. And Cam Sutton also is kind of like the jack of all trades. He'll play that Joker role, playing deep as a safety. And maybe they get to do some other things like that, too, with Joe Hayden back on the field and now at 100%. Maybe they can start doing some of these things, some of these different looks that they, you know, you can't count on a guy that doesn't know the defense to do it or isn't capable maybe of doing it, as is the case was James Pierre, who disappeared overnight. And, you know, you talk about your camp phenoms, Jameer Jones and James Pierre and those guys, the sun is set on some of those names. You can't blame the Steelers coming into this season. The cap went down lower than it was two seasons ago even because of the COVID season. And all the moves and things that the retirements and some of the other things that happen, you're lucky that Colbert has been able to put out and get some of the guys on the field that you were able to. And you're getting so many contributions from rookies. They're really rebuilding right now. And if you don't have Mike Tomlin as a head coach, maybe not even Ben Roethlisberger as your quarterback, you could see where some of it's going. I dread saying that because that's just opening me up for what about next year? I'm not worried about that. Let's go get to Monday night.
There's an analyst out there, and I would give him credit for saying this, except I'm old and I don't remember who the hell it was. So that basically said, I challenge anybody to get the number of wins Mike Tomlin has gotten the last 3 years with the teams that he's had. Anybody, any coach, put Bill Belichick on that team, put any, you know, who, whatever, Matt LaFleur, flavor of the week, whoever.
Matt LaFleur. Yeah.
Yeah. Flavor of the week. Put him out there. Mike Tomlin is an excellent head coach. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts. You may not like it because he consistently wins. And the narrative that you talked about earlier is the narrative of, well, yeah, but he's underperformed with the talent he's had. That's simply because we all think every player on our team is a Hall of Famer. It's not the case.
And available really 100% teams, of the time and all the time, too. It's
look at what he's had to deal with for the last 3 years. And you're nuts. You're just nuts if you think, oh, he squandered it. And, you know, it just isn't the case. So the fact that he is able to manage to win games with talent that most coaches simply wouldn't win with, you have to give the guy credit for that. They win sometimes in spite of their talent, not because they have talent.
And the same thing is, you have that talent. It's funny because in the same breath, the guys will say, oh, they have talent. Fire the GM. He doesn't have enough talent on the team. it's the meme where the guy's choosing between the two buttons and sweating. And it's just like, well, which one do you want? And, you know, it's been a long rant about, like, a lot of the outside observations and opinions of this team. And there's really a good reason for it. I think that negativity from the fan base, I think it creeps out onto the field. And when you
I think it does.
When you got people in Heinz Field that are booing people like we're in Philly or something, that's a problem. So Monday night, I implore the 2% of you that are still listening, if you're there,
yes,
come on, we need good vibes. And I think there will be. I think there's enough sense with people. Although somebody tried to get the wave going during an injury at the last game, Brian, and I was
again.
Yeah, I yelled at them. Oh, and they just looked at me. I'm like, there's an injured player. Knock it off.
I mean, I was at that game. I don't remember that.
But... Well, it was in my, like, a section over from where I was sitting. And it's like, no, you don't do that. Well, somebody searched. So don't do that. But keep the good vibes going. And you know.
Absolutely. Now, to address the helmet-worthy thing, yes. You said there are folks who don't know how to do their submission. Is that what you said?
They're asking for more deets. On
okay, here's the deets. The take your phone out. You know, take one of these things. Take your phone. Go to do this. Do like you can't see what I'm doing, but find your camera. Right
here. Watch what I'm doing.
Go to selfie. You know, put the camera on yourself. Go to video. Right, video. Important and then hit record and go. Hey, I deserve to have a helmet because I'm helmet worthy, and the reason I'm helmet worthy is because I'm not a moron. Or whatever the hell the reason you think it is, and then hit stop. Okay, now share that. Share that on Twitter and @CannonsDon'tThunder @SteelCityUnderground @JoeKuzma, whatever your handle is. And we'll see it. That's it. That's all you got to do. Or if you can't figure out, you don't do social media, you can't share it on social media, email it to us.
Yes. And we have an email address that pops up here at the screen. That's the final thing you'll see. So you can go pull that up. And yeah, we can't do it through the website, though. But if you post it somewhere else and you make it available too, if you're not, I know there's some like people that aren't very tech savvy, but it should be very easy. If you want to get complicated and put it in like Dropbox or something and then send us a link through the website, we could do that too. I mean, just any way you send it to it.
If I can do it, anyone can do it. I mean, I can write software. I doesn't mean I know how to use computers.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm like, this guy's like a freaking computer programmer over here trying to tell me he doesn't know how to use this stuff. But
cell phones are different.
Oh man, cell phones. Well, no, I don't have a problem with any of this stuff. What am I talking about? I'm not too old for that stuff. I have always been a tech guy. So I digress, Brian. I mean, I'm in between the holidays. We're being silly. Happy New Year's to everyone. We had a lot of different things to touch on. We had Mike Tomlin in success. We had Ben Roethlisberger's last ride. We had Adrian Clem jumping ship, so to speak, and all kinds of other stuff. It's like, we'll see what ends up happening. A lot of these things, we would love to talk a lot more about. There was just a whole mouthful here. And we are looking forward to this game. But again, it's like, how much more can we be a broken record about the things the Steelers need to do? Don't make mistakes. It's been the same song and dance for the last few weeks here. We've already seen this opponent before. So thank you for your patience. Entertaining for some, maybe not as entertaining for others, but we appreciate you. And we will be covering all of these topics a lot in the near future, because and then I will sound like maybe a broken record, but I'll be talking about, we bring it up every year multiple times. We have to talk about Mike Tomlin's records. We got to talk about first round quarterback picks and the draft and things of that nature. And I got a lot of things to say about that, but I've exhausted everything to the point where my Festivus poll has vanished. Actually put it away. The season is over, but I still have
a lot. You're telling me you put the poll away?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounded hidden. Like a euphemism.
It no, sounded it's not like hidden euphemism, anywhere on screen. But, you know. But there are some people I wouldn't mind taking that and seeing, you know, as The Rock would say, turn
hey,
that,
you
know what, sideways.
You and I are both going to be at the game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're going to be at the Monday night game. I'm going to be there. Joe's going to be there. If you're going to be there, if you're a listener and you're going to be there, at us. Add us, you know, add us on Twitter, add us whatever. Let us know you're going to be there, and maybe, you know, maybe we'll say hi. Not that I think you really want to say hi to us, but hey, you know, if you do.
No, and it's a very interesting, because it's a Monday night. You're coming back from the holidays, so usually the tailgate lots aren't thriving too much because people may be back to work. If they don't have the holiday observed or whatever, and it means things don't get popping until like maybe 6:30. It's a really kind of bizarre thing for a final home game and Ben's send off. I'd much more prefer it was like a Sunday 1 o'clock or even the Sunday night game for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would have been very cool. So I'm a little melancholy on that. So I can't invite people to come over. I don't look at my phone. I'm usually grilling and or have an adult beverage in my hand. And if I have gloves on and the things on the fingers don't work on the phone anymore.
I'm going to throw a loop here.
Be doing that.
Because Joe doesn't know I'm going to say this, so after the camera's off, he may go, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? Shut up. That's work for me. I hate you. But we're going to – how about this? If you find us and you say hi to us and your phone works or our phones work, we'll take a little video and say, hey, Happy New Year. And the next time we do one, we'll put all those videos at the end of the podcast. See, look, I told you he's
going
to be mad.
I am.
There
going,
we go.
I am going
how
to be like
– that?
I'm going to be like, where's Waldo, but maybe with a bumblebee jersey. Hey, you know how you can find me, Brian? How you can find me? I'll be the one wearing the Ben Roethlisberger jersey.
Oh, the but one. I'm, yeah, right.
Yeah. So, and in fact, that's the reason I don't have it on right
too,
now.
So,
I don't. Yeah. I, you know, I'm supporting, you know, the cause here, but I didn't want to dirty it up heading into.
Yeah, mine's in the car already.
Oh, this guy's. You are the Progressive commercial where, you know, you turn into your parents. Are you already plotting your way out of there at 3 o'clock?
Well, you know, my furnace got replaced yesterday, right? I replaced the furnace yesterday and the AC. And so we were cleaning the house because, of course, the house has to be spotless for the workmen to come in and make it dirty. and so one of the things was I had my bag where I was going to take the stuff for the game. And my wife's like, well, what are you going to do with this? And I was like, well, I can do whatever you want. She's like, just go put it in the car. So it really wasn't me. I just said, all right, fine, I don't care. You know, sometimes you just don't argue.
Those like, right? No, you don't. You are the boss of your home, but you have your wife's permission to say so.
That's not correct in my house, but I don't argue simply because I don't want to.
Yeah. Brian's also a good liar.
No, I'm really not. I just ask my wife. She'll tell you.
Well, Brian, it's been fun, my friend. Hopefully a good close to your 2021 here. And I will hopefully see you sometime during the weekend or Monday or whatever the heck this thing's going off. Let's hope for not only a Steelers victory, but I want to see Ben lay 500 yards passing and all the good stuff that we've been missing for years and yada, yada. And that would be nice. I mean, let's put it this way. How effective was Myles Garrett? This is my closing thought, I guess. How effective was Myles Garrett in that game, the last game?
I think he had a sack.
He may have had one, but it's like I don't remember him being like this force. Yeah, one sack. He had a couple of tackles. I guess he got to Ben twice. So they had a total of two sacks on Ben. So I think if they could do the same thing they were doing here in the last game, and I know they eked it out and it was tight and there was some field goals and then they were down 10-3 and then 10-9 and then you had the Pat Freiermuth circus catch on fourth down. It's, you know, those are the type of things, I guess, that got to go your way in order to win a game. But
yeah,
let's ride. We ride, my friend. And this is let's not get ourselves. We ride.
Who ride?
We ride.
All right, I can't, you know, we're not Joey Porter enough to do
that. No, I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to go out of my, you know, blow my skull out of proportion here to scream. I'm already losing my voice. But my point was here, I don't think we said it. We probably hinted at it, but this is a must win. So so we'll leave you with that.
Oh, folks, Captain Obvious finally makes his appearance in the show.
Yes. No, we enjoy everyone. Sometimes we get off our own chain here. Believe it or not, just a little inside programming note with us, and we had to start this over because we screwed up monumentally at the beginning. It was just like we were just – but I think we're both lacking sleep and caffeine and just giggling like little girls and maybe little boys too. Maybe a whole cats, dogs, you know, mass pandemonium.
I don't remember giggling like a little girl.
We don't have – like obviously we don't have any script. Very rarely do we have some – we don't have bullet notes, and we don't – we don't like as much as we would have this same conversation over the phone and via text and stuff. We save this stuff, all of this good stuff, for all of you folks that are out there. So we hope you appreciate it. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, thumbs up, like, that's the like part. Leave a positive review if you can. I know that we drive some people crazy without talking about X's and O's and everything else, but I mean, we know what this team is at this point. So it is what it is. Let's see Ben go out on a high note.
Please.
Please, yes. Please, positive, good vibes.
Please.
My name's Joe. I was going to tell him to don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Once again, we could always do that. So, but anyways, don't forget about Helmet Worthy. Leave us those submissions. My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Until the next time, hopefully we're wearing our smiley faces. It'll be sometime in the middle of next week. So have a good and safe and happy new year. Be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.